Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
Okay, so a lot of people use these two words interchangeably. Coach.
Bull. Sorry.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's Sell or Die time. Sell or Die, if you don't yet know, at over 100,000 downloads a month, is the premier sales and personal development podcast on the planet. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute.
Yeah, babe.
What's up?
We are going to take you to a place where you have never been before.
We are?
Gloucester, New Jersey.
Why would we want to go to Gloucester, New Jersey?
Because they make ships there and there's a bar in every corner.
But the town next to me growing up was Closter, New Jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So every time you say that town, I'm like, is he saying it wrong or is it another town?
So there you go. I considered North Jersey, number one, the gateway to New York City and the home of Palisades Park.
The mall?
No.
Oh.
Well, it was an amusement park before it was a mall, Jen. It was
Freddie Cannon,
Palisades Park.
It was a mall that eventually went bankrupt. But I got stuck in the elevator in that mall once.
We danced along to a rock and roll band.
I'm glad we can sing it so that we can't get sued and get, or at least
podcast. Exactly. Oh, man. All right. So speaking of malls, podcasts, let's talk about our podcast. We have a great guest today, Aaron Peterson.
Yep.
And we know some of our diehards are,
who the hell's Aaron Peterson, for God's sake?
Adverse to sales training, but Aaron's approach to training and his ability to remove limiting beliefs is something every diehard needs to listen to.
Yeah, I think that every human being at some point in their life thought, I can never do that, or that's too hard for me, or they'll say, I don't want to do that. Which, if you interpret it, means I don't think I can do that.
So limiting beliefs are something that are near and dear to my heart, because once you identify one that you have or a story mm-hmm. that you're telling yourself, mm-hmm. you're going to be on this journey to try and figure out all the other limiting beliefs that you have and how to squash them as well. And so it's funny that this episode is coming up, because it's totally random. In my Cash Flow to CEO membership, I'm actually teaching about limiting beliefs next week.
I think it's interesting to me that when I say we have all experienced this, I personally have not. But the challenge for you, your boss gives you a sales plan, or your boss gives you a quota, and you think to yourself, I can't do that. That's too much for me to do. And immediately, you don't intend to do it. You're not going to sit down and go, I can do this. I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to make it happen. And Jen, I'm sure when you're talking about limited beliefs, you have to talk about performance as part of the process.
Yeah, for sure. But, it's about these stories that we tell ourselves that we don't even realize are stories until the moment you realize it. I know how that weird that sounds. And then you're like, wait a minute. this is something I've been telling myself my whole life, or something that came from someone I trusted, like a parent or a close family member. And then you realize that it's actually not true. And I'll give you an example.
Go.
So growing up, and I love my mom dearly, but growing up, my mom told me I was a bad writer. She told me that all the time. I needed more help in writing. And she sent me to writing camp at some college in North Carolina. I forget the name of the school. But anyway, like, she tried to get me all this extra help in writing because she kept telling me I was not a good writer. And so I began to believe that I'm not a good writer.
Yeah.
Okay. And I kept telling myself this story. Like, when I first met you, and you're like, well, you have to write blogs and you have to write a book. The thing that went through my head immediately was, how am I going to do that? I'm not a good writer. And then I started writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started making comments on my articles saying things like, wow, Jen, this was really helpful. This impacted me. This was amazing. Sending me private emails, thanking me. And I realized that through my writing, I was impacting people, my quote unquote bad writing, okay? Mm-hmm. Which was actually pretty darn good, okay? And so eventually I began to tell myself a different story. I literally was journaling one day and said, I'm not a bad writer. I'm helping people.
Hey, not
my
bad.
My writing is helping people.
Yeah, you can go from bad to not bad.
Yeah, I went from bad to not so bad to pretty good to freaking good to I can write a book.
To
Amazon, you wrote a book.
Yeah, right, to
Amazon bestseller.
That's right.
Okay, so
but if I had not identified that as a story that I was telling myself, I would still have this limiting belief, and I wouldn't be able to help all these people that I have helped.
I'm going to share with you a story that was told to me and my group of cohorts when we were first learning positive attitude. Two frogs come up to a bowl of cream and jump in, and they realize that they couldn't get out once they had had enough cream. And all the other frogs in the neighborhood came around the top of the bowl as they were trying to get out, and they were going, you'll never make it, you'll never make it, and waving their arms, and you'll never make it, you'll never make it. One frog gave up, drowned, and died because he believed what they were saying. The other frog just kept on going. And he finally turned the cream into butter and walked out.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
That frog was deaf, and he thought the crowd was cheering him on. And so it's mental as much as it is physical, and you have to put yourself in the position of when somebody tells you no, that means not yet. It doesn't mean you're not good. What it means is that you haven't convinced them that you're – and you try harder.
Yeah, but it's also what you tell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just what other people are telling you, but it's what you tell yourself and the beliefs and thoughts that you have internally. And so, you know, everyone, you diehard included, has limiting beliefs. It's just a fact. Everyone has limiting beliefs. And so what you need to do through journaling and meditating and other things is really figure out what are your limiting beliefs and how are they holding you back from accomplishing or achieving what you want for your success.
There's that dual influence, what you tell yourself and what others tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You're certainly influenced by what others tell you. That's why you watch news programs or television programs or read blogs or go to YouTube or, you know, whatever you do, reading Instagram stories, they influence you. They might influence what kind of car you buy or what kind of pocketbook you want to buy or what course you want to take. Whatever it is, you get other people's influence and you base that on your own belief system. Like, I believe I need this or I believe I want this. And then you figure out what's going to happen to be able to help you to get it. You make a plan to be able to acquire somebody else's stuff. But there's also what Jen was talking about, and that is, how do you think about who you are? What have your parents told you that you still believe? What have your friends told you that you still believe? And I think that there's a very important part of this process that says, I have to believe in myself first, or I'm not going to get to where I want to get. You got to believe you're great And you got to believe you can achieve anything, or what's the value?
And no matter what you believe, if you believe you're great or you have this limiting belief of any sort, you're going to keep trying to prove it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And wait, not to prove others wrong.
No.
But to prove that you are right to yourself.
Correct. So if you believe you're a bad writer like I did, I'm going to keep looking for reasons why I'm a bad writer. You know, or now that I believe I'm a good writer, I'm going to keep looking for reasons that I'm a good writer. And it's so whatever you want to focus on, and think about how powerful that is.
So let me define it very easily. You don't do things to spite others. You do things to enhance yourself. And if you do that, you're going to win. You don't want to go, ha, look what I just did. I got the pocketbook and you didn't get the pocketbook.
Wait, you don't?
No.
You think about it, but the people that do it are weak.
Okay.
I sit back with pride and I got what I got and I'm happy about it. And maybe I share with Jenny or I share with the kids or grandkids or whatever and we play. I don't, you know, like we go to Paris. Do I write about, hey, I went to just Paris. I've been going to Paris. No, we go, we have a good time, we come home. If there's a story that I can share that will impact somebody, I'll tell it. But if not,
Anyway, right. I think it's time. So it's time for that 5-star review.
Oh, cool. Nada.
All right. Frank writes, Jeffrey and Jen are incredible. Love the strong guests that are brought in every day, as well as the fun, value-driven content. What I love is how well they balance each other out.
Aw, thanks, Frank. We do balance each other out, not just on this podcast, but in life.
Oh. There you go. So,
all right,
listeners, why don't you write your own 5-star review and talk about what you specifically like about Sell or Die and how someone else might benefit from that so that your words might encourage others to listen.
And also, if they are writing 5-star reviews, they might as well join the Sell or Die Hard's official Facebook group as well.
That's right. Join
the rest of the community. We're almost 1,000 strong there.
That's right. We're going to do something special for that 1,000th person.
Now let's get to Aaron, who believes that even high-performing salespeople have belief that limit themselves. Also, Aaron answers the age-old question, can you outgrow a sales coach? Take a listen. We are lucky today. We have a world-class leader in the area of coaching and training. And since each of you diehards probably needs more coaching and training, we're going to find out in today's interview how it works and how you need to accept it and then put it into your life so you can become more successful. And we are joined today by the great Aaron Peterson. And Aaron his company is called Achieve Today, not tomorrow, which is how a lot of people get trained. I'll do it tomorrow. And they're located in Utah and in Idaho.
Yep.
People don't know the Idaho part. That's like the secret part. But they're located and they specialize in successful people and potatoes.
There you go. Exactly.
So welcome.
Aaron, we're glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so let's talk about coaching.
Okay.
So we have a lot of diehards out there, and they're amazing.
Yep.
And they're crushing their sales numbers.
And some are not.
Well, okay. I want to talk about our high performers first.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Do they need a coach?
Absolutely. I mean, most people we work with are high performers. And if you look at any
professional athlete.
Exactly. Any professional, chances are they have coaching. And why would somebody at the highest point in their game still need coaching? It's because they understand they can always improve and get better.
Cool. And so when someone's looking to hire a coach, what are the three to five things that they should be looking for?
I think a big piece of it is understanding how they learn, right? I mean, we feel that most people learn best through a one-on-one model, mm-hmm. right? Because that coach can obviously ask you questions specific about you and you can get solutions and responses about your situation, not a blanket cookie cutter statement for everybody.
it's also engagement.
Absolutely. And if accountability.
There's five people in a group.
Yeah.
One guy's going to say, well, he's not talking about me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And accountability, right? I mean, you're talking to that coach. It's you. So I think learning styles, and I think when people break it down, that one-on-one model, it's customized to that individual and their specific situation.
Okay. But so I've hired a bunch of coaches in the past. I definitely believe in them. And there have been certain things that I've looked for. But what should someone who's never had a coach before or who has had maybe a bad experience, what should that coach, what kind of qualities should they have?
You know, I think, and I'm speaking from our organization, right? Because our organization, we invest a lot of time, energy, money into our coaches. So our coaches have a lot of different certifications. So they're very well-rounded. And they've been doing this for a long time. So I think number one is finding a coach who has been doing it a while, who has some experience. Because if you're just working with a coach, I've been in the industry for a few months, a year, you probably want to find somebody who's been doing it for quite some time.
Okay.
And also ones who've been very well-rounded in different types of certifications or trainings that they've been involved with. So I think those are key components to finding the right coach.
It's interesting. So the coach
is still
learning.
I'm a heart surgeon, and I've been doing it all week.
Yeah.
Not the guy you want, not the guy you're looking for.
No, right.
No.
But think about it this way. Tiger Woods has coaches. Aaron Rodgers has coaches.
Yep.
Every major athlete in the world, especially the runners and swimmers, they all have coaches, and they've had them for years and years. And it works.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no one would have a coach.
Right.
But salespeople don't always realize that if they had a coach, they could do better.
Right.
And I think the problem is that they're in a vacuum. They're working on their own. And they don't have anyone encouraging them or guiding them to the next level.
I think that the belief is there that a coach would help. But I think that the investment is sometimes a hurdle.
Yeah.
You feel like your company should be coaching you.
Yeah,
you feel like your
boss, my boss pay for this?
Should be able
no,
to coach you.
No, your boss is not going to pay for this. It's going to make you more successful. What the hell are you thinking?
Well, and I think, especially in the sales, I love sales. And I've done sales my whole entire life. I think that a lot of sales professionals, business owners, they do receive decent training in sales. But having a coach that can help with some of the internal clockwork is going to move the needle probably more than anything, because most of us, our approach to improving somebody's life, realizing their potential, is teaching success principles that are around helping them identify and remove some of those self-limiting beliefs. And it doesn't matter, even the most successful people have some sort of limiting belief that's holding them back. And if you can identify that, clear that out, chances are that's going to improve
tremendously. So how do you identify your limiting beliefs?
That's where a coach comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's why, because a lot of times we're the producers of our own movie, right? Mm-hmm. So for us to see that, hey, I'm limiting myself here or there, it's kind of hard to do that. But a coach who deals with this every day, they're the ones that are able to say, okay, I can see that you've got a limiting belief about this or that. So they're able to help you identify them. And then getting rid of that limiting belief is, I think, a big piece to moving forward with success.
I'm going to share something else with you that I've encountered over the years. One of the reasons that companies will not pay for individual coaching is that they don't want that salesperson to get so good that they either take their job or quit and move away.
And then go someplace else.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not going to invest in this guy. He's going to quit. No, dude, he's going to quit because you're a dork.
Yeah.
And he's going to quit because you're a douchebag. And you need to fix that too. You need a coach.
Yes.
So at lunch, we were talking about your coaching method.
We went to lunch?
We did.
It was delicious,
we went to Belly Acres.
By the way.
It was delicious. Yeah. I had too many onion rings, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the fact that you have a coaching method.
Yes.
But we didn't have a chance to get into it. So let's talk about that now. What is your method?
Well, it's a three-pronged approach. And the first thing we do is we help people identify and remove those self-limiting beliefs. We just feel in order to see change, it takes over a six-week period of time. And it also requires you to change at a belief level, right? Mm-hmm. Changing a belief is going to change behavior far faster than working on a behavior is going to change behavior. We've seen that. We believe that. Our second approach to self-improvement, to realizing your potential, is viewing life through a different lens, right? We encounter a lot of people say, well, I failed at this or I didn't do very good at that. It's like, no, you it's a learning opportunity. What did you learn? How can you improve? How can you move forward? And the last thing is helping high performers elevate their performance. As I mentioned earlier, most of the people we work with are high performers. And if you can get a high performer to increase that by 5, 10, 15%, they're going to see amazing results. We do that through clarity, energy, productivity, physiology. It's all stuff, and it's customized by the coach's approach to that individual.
Hmm. That's cool. And so are there specific stories you can share with us about how someone's transformed through that kind of
method? Absolutely. You know, matter of fact, we worked with a small business owner. I remember she was in California, and she felt like she was just at a certain plateau. And I believe her name was Susan. And Susan was at a plateau where she wasn't making any more money, right? She wasn't getting more sales, bringing more people into her business. And she had great training around her, but really the block or the ceiling was put on her by herself. And she didn't realize it, right? She had just, I can never reach this level, that level. She had kind of set her bar at X. And as our coaches helped her work through that to realize, listen, what's happening here is you buying into a system that you can't take it to the next level. It's really a belief. And so as we worked with her over probably a 3-4 month period of time, she actually broke company records.
Oh, cool.
On the sales that she's done. And so anyway, it's amazing. And we see success stories like that all the time. Matter of fact, you know, one lady who was an investment banker that sold financial products, her company called us and says, I don't know what's happening to Lori was her name. I can't remember what happened to Lori.
These are all made up names, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We don't share any of
this. There's no Lori McGillicuddy in Dallas, Texas.
But her company actually called and said, listen, I don't know what you guys did with Lori. She was middle of the pack. For the last 3-4 months, she has been our top producer in a nationwide company.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's totally cool. What does it rhyme with?
I'm a strong believer about figuring out your limiting beliefs and getting rid of them. And it's like addictive. Like when you figure out you have a limiting belief, you're like, wait a minute, what other limiting beliefs do I have?
Yeah.
Because that could have prevented me from doing this really cool, amazing thing that I'm so proud of. What else am I holding myself back from?
Absolutely.
It's like we can be our own worst enemies sometimes.
Absolutely.
I'm going to call as a referee, I'm going to call bullshit on everyone who thinks that they have a fear of success. I hear coach people all the time or business people all the time say, you're not getting where you need to go because you have a fear of failure. Like, seriously, I'm not fearing failure. I'm feeling my fucking rent is due and I want to make sure the rent's paid. That's number one. And number two, I am not certain of how to achieve success by taking the right path. I more have a fear of taking the wrong path to success.
Right.
And a coach will teach me the right path because the coach has already scored the touchdown, made the winning shot at the end of the game, or helped someone achieve their financial goal.
Yeah. They know the pitfalls. They know the speed bumps before you get to them. So they can accelerate that process, just like you said, Jeffrey. I mean, they know the path and can guide you through it a lot faster than you could on your own.
So I've had to do this before, and I'm certain there's other people who will one day at some point be in the shoes I was in.
Size 8.5?
8 for the record. I really like J Slides right now. Those are my favorite at the moment.
But she will take Louboutins.
Well, yeah.
She will take Louboutins.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. How do you break up with a coach?
Ooh. So that's a great question. You know, and where I've been in the business of having an organization full of coaches.
Yeah.
We feel that our approach is to really work with these coaches to get them trained up. We've had to part ways with coaches, right? And we had students that maybe didn't fit with a coach. But our approach is that, listen, if you don't connect with a coach, I guarantee we have a coach that you will connect with. And so we would move them on to that coach. And a lot of times, give them as many sessions back as they need to make sure that connection is there and established first.
I wonder how you fire the guy. Go, coach. I mean, Bob. I need to talk.
Coach. No,
I mean, the reason why I ask is I had an amazing coach who was great for me when I started my business. Yeah. But then
you
when
have room.
I really did outgrow him. And And it was very hard because he cared so deeply about me, and we met every week, and he was used to my check that came miraculously every month. And I felt terrible because I didn't want to hurt his feelings, but at the same time, I didn't feel like – I felt like he got me from point A to point B, but he couldn't get me over the hump to point C.
Right. And if there's ever anybody in that situation, I mean – we're proud of those individuals, right? If they feel like they've outgrown us and our organization, we feel like we can serve the entire population with what we do. We have coaches at all levels. But if somebody gets to that point where they're able to outgrow us, man, we're proud of them, right? And that's really our – because we want that. That's what we want. If they come into us, they need help. And if we can get them to a level where like, guys, I'm good. I feel like I've outgrown it. I'm moving forward. You know, we applaud them and wish them the absolute best.
Yeah.
And we feel like we've – done our part.
And notice I didn't say I outgrew coaching.
Sure.
I outgrew that coach. That
yes,
coach.
Exactly.
And there's a big distinction there.
You're exactly right.
There are big companies that make you sign a contract, and whether you think you've outgrown your coach or not is one thing. Whether you've outgrown your contract, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to look at it from the perspective of what is your obligation to pay your coaching bill, not to the coach per se.
Absolutely.
Okay, so a lot of people use these two words interchangeably. Coach.
Sorry.
Coach and mentor.
Yep.
How would you create a distinction between the two?
You know what? Honestly, we probably interchange them a little bit too, but we see a coach as somebody who is giving kind of the blocking, tackling, you know, the skills, that, whereas a mentor is kind of – right alongside you. I guess the visual imagery is you look at a coach on a football field or a basketball court and they're coaching somebody in a certain situation, whereas a mentor has their arm around them, walking side by side, helping
them
through
the beach.
Exactly. Yep.
So I'm going to give you mine.
Yeah, go for it.
Perfect.
Coaches are paid for, mentors are free.
Ooh.
I like that.
There's this big thing now where people want to pay to have mentorship. I don't understand it. I think
that's
it's
because
like a
the person who's offering it doesn't understand it either. Mentors do not get paid for their advice or their wisdom or their friendship.
I agree with that. But people will email me or LinkedIn message me and be like, how can I sign up? Where can I pay for your mentorship? And I'm like, huh?
You can pay right here as long as you don't call it that.
I really like that distinction though, Jeffrey.
It's the easiest
one. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, think about the mentors that you've had in your life.
Yeah.
You've never paid them a nickel.
Right.
And that, to me, was always the obvious one. Mm-hmm. But it may be because I've had a dozen mentors in my life that have significantly changed it. And they'd be insulted if I tried to give them
money.
Right,
right. Like, they're not doing it for the money.
Here's $100. Like, seriously? Give a multimillionaire $100 for his hour?
So
there's an exchange, and the exchange has to be – emotional, and there has to be a respect mutually and a like mutually.
Yep.
And you have to be talking to somebody that can genuinely help you, and you have to have earned their respect and earned their mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
And you, the one thing you never do is ask somebody, will you be my mentor?
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
So how did you get into coaching?
Yeah, we want to know everything.
Awesome. So this is many, many years ago, probably about 19 years ago. We did a lot of we'd go with some of the seminar organizations out there, and there would be some big-name speakers back then, Joe Montana, Colin Powell. And in between those big-name speakers were some product speakers, and we used to be there offering the products. And at that time, there were CDs, big things full of CDs and workbooks, and we would offer those to individuals, and we found out that a lot of them had questions about it, right? Like, where do I start? And so we found out that if we added some coaching to that, they were willing to pay more money.
Mm-hmm.
And they were happier because that gave them the path. It sped up their path to get things done and get things set up that they otherwise wouldn't have done themselves, rather than just opening up this big box of stuff and not knowing where to begin. So that's really where we got started. Then we realized, man, there's some great opportunity in a lot of different spaces that the same concept though, right? If you can help speed up somebody's learning curve, whether it's a real estate investing, whether it's sales, whether it's starting an online business. But we just found, and it was probably about 5 years ago, and that's when I started Achieve Today, is I was passionate about the human potential, helping people realize their potential through success principles, and found that coaching was the best way to help them do that.
Wow. In the Gittimer Learning Academy, I have a statement that I use at the end. I say, you give me 365 days and I'll advance your career 10 years.
Yeah.
And the speed of learning and the speed of understanding from other wisdom will help you get to that next plateau a hell of a lot faster.
Oh, yeah. Because,
number one, it doesn't just give you new idea. Rather, sometimes it will reinforce what you're doing, and you'll do it with greater intensity.
Well, and
like, honestly, I knew I should have been doing that. I'm going to go.
Well, and people are going to pay for it either way, right? Either they'll pay for it through bad experiences.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or they'll pay through it with a coach. Mm-hmm. And really, people that are struggling in lots of different areas of their life, it's, like I said, it's an underlying belief. And when you change that, you change everything about them. And so if they could speed up that and understand where they're missing and how they can improve, it is a game changer for their entire life.
So if you're a diehard out there, there's two things that you can do that will help you. One is take an online program.
Yeah.
And the other is take on a coach.
Yeah.
And those two – that and that way you're never alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a salesperson, you're on a team of people that you don't really want to be on with anyway. They're in Poughkeepsie, New York, and you're in Dallas, Texas, and they're all making sales calls, and the manager who's, come on, let's be on a team.
Yeah.
You don't want to be on a team. He wants that guy to die so you can have his leads.
Yeah.
but the bottom line is you are looking for help, and the best way to get that help is independently.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because everyone else has an agenda inside. There's a political agenda. Bob wants to be with Mary. But whatever the circumstance is, it is different than if you took outside who has no background.
Well, and I'll say, even though people might see our site and realize, okay, they're into personal development, right, high performance. But I will tell you that sales professionals, we probably help them move the needle far greater than anyone else, because a lot of times they know some of the skills and they get trained on the skills, but it's their ability to learn that and to get rid of the things that are holding them back that help them learn those other things actually faster.
One of the things that I've always recommended is that if you're a sales manager and you're looking for a great salesperson, hire an athlete.
Yep.
Hire a military person. They will take coaching, they will take guidance, they will take leadership, and they will march to the sea.
Yep.
So I have two questions, but they're not related.
For me.
So the first question is, how do you help someone that signs up for the coaching and in their heart they want the coaching, but then in between the sessions they're not taking the actions you need them to take to be successful?
Man, that is a really good question. And we've seen that before, not very often, because our process on selecting people to work with is in-depth enough that we ask – I mean, we want them to kind of qualify, right? You've got to be open-minded and teachable, just like Jeffrey said. If you're not, it's hard for our coaches to teach somebody something
right,
that thinks they know everything. And so once – if they do get through that process of being selected to work with a coach, we have seen a few that just won't do the homework in between. And it's – those are really hard people to work with.
Mm.
And just like in sports or anything else in business, if you can't get them to do things – I mean,
you're not playing the game every day.
No.
Something's drastically wrong.
But then they blame you for not having the results.
Exactly. And the unfortunate thing is those people probably blame people for everything going on
right,
in their life.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. The second question is how big of a deal do you think when anyone's being coached, mindset is and attitude is versus all the other skills they think they need? So like a salesperson, I need to know how to sell versus like, well, first off, let's start with your limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
Let's start with your attitude. Let's start with your mindset, those things. Like how important is that other stuff?
I think that the internal clockwork in somebody is absolute paramount in anything they do. Just if you think about it, we've all known people in our lives that if they've got a bad attitude, It's hard for them to be a good salesperson. Hard
or
for them
an to inconsistent be, attitude.
Exactly. It's hard for them to find success in anything. So starting just with that and actually viewing, like I said, life through that different lens of everything doesn't suck. You know, there's really good things everywhere.
Yeah.
That improves the learning process in my mind dramatically. So I think that internal clockwork, that inner dialogue and that personal development, that belief of being able to accomplish stuff and getting rid of things that hold you back is paramount, because then everything else builds on top of that like a solid foundation, and you can grow that thing to levels that you've never even imagined you could.
Cool. Yeah, I listen to people's language when they talk, because I think that their language is very indicative of how they're feeling, and they might use one word here or there, like – like, what do I have left to do versus, like, what else can I do?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big difference between those two questions.
Are we
going to
be meeting for an hour?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Don't give me that.
Right. Right.
You can tell you're a coach and Ben coach. you get that. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And if you die hard, if you start listening to your own language.
Yes.
It's very telling. And you'll begin to realize, if you pay attention, what your real attitude is or how it's coming off. We had an episode with Mark England from Procabulary. We'll throw it in the show notes, but it's all about the words you use, and it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. That is fascinating.
Yeah.
The coach sets the tone of encouragement or discouragement, of help, of wisdom, and all the things that you're hoping a coach will do for you. And he or she decides how much they're going to chastise you, how much they're going to challenge you, and how much they're going to encourage you to win. The key is encouragement.
Right.
And
absolutely.
If you get that, you're going to be fine. You know, the great Jim Rohn has the lesson of how long do you wait for a kid to walk? And the answer is till they walk.
Till they walk, right.
I mean, you're not going to say, you're not walking in 2 weeks, no college.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct?
Right.
And in the meantime, you're encouraging them all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Till they turn two. So, no, Bobby, no.
Exactly. Don't.
So can I let the secret out of the bag?
We're getting married.
We are getting married.
Oh,
yeah, he was talking to Jennifer,
by
not
the
me.
Time this episode airs, we still will not be married yet. But so, Nada, you can cut this if you want, but I'm going to let the secret out of the bag. Jeffrey is going to have certified coaches who know his material, who can coach you in his method, and it's going to be really cool. So if you're ready for a coach, you got to contact us. We're going to put a link in the show notes as to where.
Sell or die, getimmer.com, put coach in the notes, maybe.
And we'll put a URL in there that they can actually get a consultation.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
A freebie one?
Yeah, a free consultation to see if they are ready for a coach and if it would be a good fit. And I think that even just on that consultation call, they'll get tons of information that could help them, like free information.
Yeah. I mean, it's really is a needs analysis. Where are you right now? Where would you like to get to? And what is that gap? And what's causing that gap? And how do we clear that gap?
That'll be cool.
Most people don't know themselves as well as they think they
do.
And most people will blame other people or circumstances for their either shortcomings or failures. And if you're looking to succeed, those are beliefs that you have to at least change,
exactly,
if not
right.
go 180 degrees the other way.
Exactly right.
And what a coaching program will do for you is, number one, discover where you are.
Yep.
Help you understand where you are. And then finally, get advice that can help you literally go. You know, you look, it's a coaching GPS.
Yep.
Yeah.
You want to walk someplace and you're leaving the one business, you're leaving a bar or a restaurant, and you want to go to a bookstore. And you see the map and you go, well, shit, which way do I go? And you walk like a half a block the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't go, hey, stupid. It says, turn around.
Just the line goes the wrong way.
Turn right on through the or you can actually see it visibly. Wouldn't it be cool if you could see your sales the same way?
Yeah.
Like you're going down the wrong path, you doofus.
Yeah, and you have a whole roadmap in that platform that they get. So that's going to be really cool.
And it's customized to that individual. Every person is different. Everybody's situation is a little bit unique. And so be able to work on you and only you and your situation, that's extremely valuable.
And for will sure. you be coached on principles that are found in the Red Book or the Sales Manifesto or the 21.5 Unbreakable Laws of Selling?
Hell yeah!
Or the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude? The answer is yes, you will, but you're not going to get – you'll buy the book on your own and read it so that when you get coached on what it is about and how to yep. implement it, it will make a hell of a lot more sense and you'll get there quicker.
Absolutely.
For sure, for sure. This has been amazing. Thank you for coming,
thank
Charlotte.
You guys. This
thank
is
you
awesome.
For coming
it, thank
on
you
our
and
podcast. This is great.
This has been great.
Cool.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
Or leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom. Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or die hard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.